sensing the presence of God, and then we'll preach the word this morning.
Comes power, and you never know what you're going to do with that kind of power. Something beyond you. I want to tell you a story that I told many, many years ago that remains dear to me, particularly because people bring it back up to me over and over again. It's probably the thing I've been asked about as much as anything regarding stories and Bible studies along the years. But it's such a statement in my own life and such a memory of God overtaking me and enabling me to do something I couldn't do. You have no idea how dangerous you would be if you would live filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ. I was headed off to the east side of the country to Asheville, North Carolina to speak. And I had left fairly early that morning, right after I'd gotten the girls on the bus. They were probably, early junior high school at that time, my oldest, and my youngest probably coming out of elementary school. And I had a terrific morning with the Lord. When you're in the throes of that kind of parenting, boy, it's catch where catch can. But that particular day, they had gone off early to school, and I had had all morning just to soak him in. And I'd been memorizing Scripture, and I remember very clearly I was memorizing John chapter 1 at the time. And I was on the airplane, and the way I do my memory work is I have to say it. I read it, then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I say it out loud, and I read it, and then I look away from it and see if I can say it. So I've done it over and over again until I got stumped on a passage, and the guy sitting next to me completed my sentence, and he was not happy about it. He had no desire to memorize John chapter 1. None. So I got to my layover, and I was about to go. I was going into a small town. I was going into Asheville. So I was about to move to a prop. So I was having to go to a part of the airport that was just one large room where you went off into several different halls down to the smaller plane. So it was for a small airport and a small part of the terminal. It was packed, absolutely packed. And our chairs were all facing one another. So there was a set of chairs that were against the wall, and then I was in the one straight across from them. And I was totally immersed in my memory work. The only reason I'm telling you this is I was filled to the measure. I'd had a wonderful morning with him, and I was filled to the measure. So I was sitting Indian style in my jeans and sweater, and I had my Bible open on my lap, and I was just going back over it and back over. Boy, I was getting it. I was all the way down to about verse 18, and boy, it was coming to me. I was having a great time. And suddenly I see that the eyes of all the people against the wall are watching something behind me. And it was like a movie, because all of their eyes shifted this way, this big around, and they began to come this way. Whatever it was going right behind me. And I'm thinking, oh, I wish I were looking. Are you like that? I'm a people watcher. I was so desperately thought, what are they looking at? And I can't wait to look for myself. Until it comes all the way around here. And then suddenly, in my peripheral vision, I begin to see a little of it. And it is a flight hostess that is pushing up a man in a wheelchair right to the end of my row. And there's nobody between us. And this place is packed. So I want you to know that Jesus went to a significant amount of trouble to make sure that I saw this man. So I wait until everybody else gets more polite, and then I go. And when I looked over at him, he was the oddest sight. He looked like he was not one iota less than about 129, and I'm not kidding. This was the oldest looking person I had ever seen. Not only that, but he had gray hair that was down to here. His fingernails were every bit as long as mine. He was clean, but it's just an odd sight. His pants, it looked like that he had obviously lost a lot of weight because they were just bunched up. I'll never forget how he looked, and he was just, his head was just hanging down like this, and his hair was in strings like this. Huh? Whoa, it's one of those times where you think, that is Howard Hughes. That is God. I could be Howard Hughes. You think any moment I'm going to have an Elvis sighting. You know, it's that kind of thing. But this is what's happening in the airport today. And so I can hardly take my gaze off of him. So I try to get my face back down my Bible and go back to my memory work. This is how much God thinks of us just memorizing Scripture but not doing anything with it. Because the Lord begins to compel my heart. Overwhelms me. Well, I have learned, I've walked with him a long time. I knew by now, that is scary. God is up to something when He is overwhelming your heart like that. And I just thought, oh, please, God, no. Oh, please. Please, God, no. Because I'm already knowing He wants me to witness to this man. And so I say to myself in my spirit, now I'm not talking out loud, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God silently, and I'm saying, I'm sure my mouth is going, because I say to Him, do not make me witness to that man. Put me on the same plane with him. I'll happily witness to him on the same plane. But do I have to do it now? Because I had that now kind of feeling that gets in your soul. Where it's like the Holy Spirit in you is standing up and going, and you're going like this with him. That horrible feeling when you know something is about to happen that you would not have chosen to do. And now I'm going to tell you, as clear as I'm talking to you now, the Lord spoke to my heart. The very few times I've ever heard God be this articulate with me, and I'm telling you word for word, these words came into my heart. I'm not asking you to witness to him. I'm asking you to brush his hair. Lord, that man needs witnessing to. What good is combed hair if a man is lost? And I can tell, Lord, that man, I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your witness. I am your girl. Me. I got the Roman road. Amen. Still in my heart. I mean, we are just having a fight. I didn't tell you to witness to him. I told you to brush his hair. I thought, I don't have a hairbrush. No, I fix my hair. And then it's done for the day until I unfix it. And the brush is in the luggage. You understand why I'm saying to you? So I said, I don't even have a hairbrush. And the Lord still compelling me. Come out. So I get up, walk over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even have a hairbrush. You know, I was supposed to be thoroughly equipped unto all good work. I do not have a hairbrush. I walk over. I get right in front of the man. His head's hanging down like this. I lean down like this. I said, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? And he says, what? A little louder. Sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair? He goes, little lady, if you want me to hear you, you're going to have to speak up. Sir, may I have the privilege of brushing your hair? To which everyone in the airport goes, whoa! And I can feel every eye just piercing me just like this. And I'm just humiliated. And he looks at me and says, if you want to. And I go, I know. I don't want to. I went, yes, sir. I would absolutely love to. But my problem is, I don't have a hairbrush. He says, I have a hairbrush. He said, it's back in my bag. So I go all the way around the wheelchair. His bag is on the back of it like this. I get down on my knees. I unzip this little duffel bag, and I start pulling out his clean undershirts, his pair of pajamas, all sorts of things. And as I do, I cannot tell you the feeling that overwhelms me. I'm just flooded with the love of Christ. I found the hairbrush. It's one of those real old bristle ones. Doesn't look anything like our brushes do now. And when I stood up, I began then. I went over to him and I thought, you know, to tell you the truth, this is what I'm good at. I had two girls. I'm good at this. So I just came and I just began to brush his hair, and it was so matted that I couldn't even believe it. And so I had to get down to the very bottom of it, and I just brushed the very ends of it, and then just a little bit. It took us forever. And I want to tell you, I was oblivious to everybody else in that room. At that point, nobody else was alive to me. I just kept brushing and kept brushing until that hair was as smooth as silk. I went back around to him and squatted down in front of him and put my hands on his hands. They were on his knees. His head was just like that. And I said, sir, do you know Jesus? And he said, yes, I do. I said, well, of course you do. That figures. I wanted to share the gospel with you. But no, you need your hairbrush. And he told me that his old bride of so many years would not marry him until he came to know Christ. And he said, I was just sitting here thinking to myself, and he wept. I'm about to cry telling you. He said, I was just sitting here thinking, what a mess I must be for my bride. He'd been in that hospital for months. He was about to return back home. Nobody had cut his hair or anything. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been brushed. That hostess came and put him on the plane, and she came back out, and she was crying. I mean, hard. And she said, "What made you do that?" And I said, "Jesus, he's the bossiest thing." She did need Christ, so I did get to talk to her. Knows what our need is. Man didn't need witnessing to, he needed his airbrushed. When we are filled to the measure with the fullness of Christ, you sweet thing, you cannot believe the needs we can meet. We can do what we know we can. And while you're doing it, you're just thinking, "That ain't me. That really ain't me." No. It's God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we want that to be us. I want another man in that airport who needs his hair brushed. Repeat that story to me, Lord, and through me over and over. Make me willing, Father, because I'm so full of you, I cannot resist it. Let that be me. I don't want to miss that, Lord. I wouldn't have missed that old man for anything. Thank you for knowing our needs. And thank you for knowing the biggest need we have is just to be filled with you. You are just it. And I am so in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kind of makes you want to hear the voice of God, doesn't it?
Yep.
How many of you ever had an experience like that where you thought, "I don't want to do that"? But the fruit of hearing the voice of God is so powerful. And in John's Gospel, you'll turn there with me this morning. John, the 10th chapter. They're discussing who Jesus is and who he's not. The religious group, the church, is discussing who he is and who he's not. How many knows the church is still discussing who Jesus is and who he's not? And they said in John 10:25, Jesus responds, he said, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." How many's ever heard the voice of God? You know, I've had one of my aunts, she said one time, and she was probably in her 60s then, she said, "I've heard people say I've heard from God and I've heard God said this to me. I've never heard God say anything." And I thought, well, the Bible says my sheep know my voice. And most of the time God speaks to us through promptings, doesn't he? Not an audible voice, but through promptings. How many of you ever had an overwhelming need like Beth Moore was talking about, that you saw a need? You're not even sure why you noticed it, but you saw a need and you thought, "I have to do something about this need. I have to give to this." More than likely, that was God prompting you and speaking to you directly. Maybe you didn't recognize it as that, but a man in our leadership conference said yesterday, he said, there's three voices that all of us hear. One is your own voice, and it's usually saying, "What about me? About my needs and what I want, and what am I getting out of it?" And then there's the devil's voice. "She's no good," or "He's no good," or "God isn't real," or, you know, "The word doesn't really mean that," or, you know, "He's always disputing and tearing down." And then there's God's voice that says, "I love you. I gave my son for you, and I want what's best for you." He said, and you need to pay attention because one of those three voices will always be speaking to you. Which one are you listening to? And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, or never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so he says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, what I want to give you today is sort of like what Beth Moore was talking about, hearing the voice of God and recognizing it. In Psalms 119:5, it said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And that's what the word of God is. And that's why we need to hear God's voice. Because and know this word, Beth was talking about memorizing word, knowing God's word and having it in your heart, in your mind. Because how many knows the world's always throwing something out in front of us to trip us up, to pull us off course. And he said, if you've got this word, and I believe this is the way God speaks to us most of the time, is through the written word of God. That's why it's really important. And if parents, listen, if I was a parent of young children, I would work on rewarding my kids for memorizing Scripture. For you children's church pastors and teachers, memorizing Scripture, when you do the memory verse, man, never take for granted how important that is. That is one of the most powerful things you can do for our children. Is how many times have you, as adults, gone through something or faced something and the Word of God just becomes alive to you? That's the Holy Spirit bringing it back to your remembrance. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, to our hearts, and saying, this is what God's Word says. And you know, and now you're different. We talked about that in our starting point class this morning with some of our new members about how do you tell if a person's dead. And it is when somebody hurts you, you don't stay offended anymore. And you don't carry hurt around because you're dead to all that. Now, if you carry it around for a long time, that means there's something alive in you that's carnal and you need to kill it. You carry that stuff around. Carry grudges and carry hurt and carry bitterness and hate for your enemies instead of love for your enemies. You know, that means that the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you say you're not dead in this area. And you need to kill it. So it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many knows it's just easier to walk in light than it is in darkness? I've done this for my kids, and when we'd be going home, like on an old dirt road that I was familiar with, and that's just for the illustration, I'd say, watch this, and just cut the headlights off. They're like, ooh! Because you're traveling. And it may be familiar to you, but, you know, kids are like, oh my gosh. And you say, well, that's a terrible thing to teach your kids. Well, that's kind of grandpa I am. Addie and I were talking the other day, and she wanted this guitar, and I wanted the guitar, and it's in a little book, Christmas book. I just ripped the page out and said, it's mine. She went, oh! And then I got scolded for teaching her bad things. I mean, knows the Holy Spirit, when He speaks, will teach you what agrees with this. He'll teach you good things. And so, but we had a good time with her. Now, here's something else. So you hear it through the Word. That, you know, listen, you're going to hear it through the Word. Most of the time when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's going to be confirming what He's already taught us. Kind of like your mom and dad, when they looked at you for something you had done, they said, you know better than that. Why did they say that? Because they've taught you different principles. They've taught you godly principles that says, you know better than that. I've trained you, I've taught you, and so you know you shouldn't do that. That's what God is saying to us, and that's why it's important to learn the Word of God, because He says, if you know this, you'll know God's will and God's character. And you'll know who God is. So we hear it mainly through here. Another way we hear is through preachers and teachers. Digging in the Word and then sharing the Word with us, giving a word out, maybe a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, something that God's dropped in your spirit. And also He does that through you. As long as you have a relationship with Christ and you're listening to Him, sometimes He's just going to speak truth through you to other individuals at any given time. Just like Beth Moore was saying, be ready, instant in season and out. Be ready to give a word. Speak the truth in love. Yesterday at our pastor's conference, our leadership summit, we were given an opportunity to talk about some of the hard things we're going through. Most of the ones that shared yesterday, it was something they were going through with other individuals. Something their church was resistant on, or something that some resistance they had in ministry. And God just dropped a little thing in my spirit. He spoke to my heart. He said, tell them, here's the remedy. Speak the truth and love and trust me. And that's what I got in my spirit, to speak to this group of pastors. And I said, Lord, if this is you, how many does that? Lord, if this is you, I said, make a way. Have me, give me the platform, give me the opportunity to speak this word before we dismiss. And if it's not, I'll know it's just me. And I just barely got that out, and my superintendent looked back and said, Jack, would you prepare the prayer for closing our meeting and going to lunch? I said, okay, that was you, wasn't it? And so I got up and I shared that. I said, this is really simple, but I feel like this is what the God put in my heart. And I want you to know that I told him, if this is really you, to make a way. And then our superintendent looks back and says, you've got the platform to dismiss us for lunch. And so I said, here's what he gave me. And several people thanked me for giving that simple little word. It's simple, but and I told him, I said, here's what we have to do as pastors. When we're talking about trusting him, if we don't trust him and we allow things in the church that's not right, it's sin and these sort of things, and bad behavior to go on in the body of Christ as leader, it's going to hurt us. And we trade off truth and love for finances or whatever reason we're not wanting to approach someone. I said, and all of a sudden now we've got a church that's not godly. And so, you know, that's how he speaks to us. So it's prompting us, and I knew that's what his word said, speak the truth in love. And so he can talk to through you and me, just like when Bev was giving a praise back to the people. That was a timely word, wasn't it? Our teens have been going out and blessing individuals, and that's been a blessing. And you're already getting blessings back, aren't you? Did you get your brownies this morning? Isn't that cool? And you know what Miss Marlene told me? She said, I was so excited, I forgot to give them the brownies. She just wanted to do that while you were there. So I love that. When people are just blessing people for giving, and so we hear from each other. Here's another way, and I'd like to hear this sometime on a good note, but here's another way. In Matthew 3:17, it talks about God being excited about Jesus' baptism. How many can remember when your kids were baptized? Wasn't that exciting when you had your kids baptized? And some of you just recently, you know, Gina had her daughter baptized. And it's so exciting. And I thought, we get that from God, because here the Lord is, and he's so excited. I could just picture him on the throne and his son's being baptized. And he shouts out, it says, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, that's my kid right there. I kind of wondered, I thought, wonder if he announced that or if he just blurted it out in heaven and all the angels went, whoa, good Lord. Tell us when you're going to do that. My first thought was they jumped out of their skin. I thought, no, they don't have skin in heaven. But I thought, that's just like us, isn't it? Just when our kids do something, we're so proud of them, we just, yeah, that's my kid. You ever been to a graduation, you can hear mothers and dads and families, oh, that's my boy, you know, and just yelling out. And I thought, that's kind of the way it was with Christ and his Father. So he can speak to us from heaven. You sound guys, you know, you think, well, this is pretty good sound, and you do a good job. But, you know, God doesn't even need wires and monitors and all that stuff. He can just broadcast his voice throughout the earth. So he could speak directly to us from the throne of God. And I don't know how far that is. I'm not much of on science, but it's the third heaven is a long ways. When they talk about going to the sun or the moon and taking so many light years away, I thought, that's a long way, isn't it? In other words, if you travel at the speed of light, it'd take you this many years to get there. And it's beyond that. And he can make his voice audible to you. Has anyone ever heard audible voice of God? You believe so? Yeah. I think sometimes we do. I never forget one time I was at a concert and we were raising hands and somebody just lifted my hand up. I thought, wow, that's cool. I looked and there's nobody there. I thought, that's scary. And that was just as real to me. I thought, wow. But the praise is the Imperials and they were praising and the power of God was there and I never experienced. But God can speak from heaven if he wants to. Here's something I thought was unique. God can speak through dead people. You ever had a person that's gone on to speak to you? How many knows that's in the Bible? You know, you see people that say, well, I don't believe in all that. Well, that is in the Bible, that God can speak to us through people that have gone on. You want to know where it's at? Do you need proof? In Matthew 17:1-8, we won't read that for a time, but when Jesus is needing ministered to, who comes to his aid on the Mount of Transfiguration? There's some altering of Jesus, and that's why they call it the Mount of Transfiguration, but it goes on, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, who appears? Moses and Elijah. I mean, those they used to walk the earth here. They used to be alive in the body here. And now they're deceased. And now they're ministering. They're talking to. They're giving God's direction to Jesus. You say, well, but that's Jesus. All I'm saying is he can do that if he wants to. You know, if Uncle Harry shows up that has gone on a long time ago and has a word for you, you might want to listen. He can do that if he wants. And that's not mystic. That's just something that I noticed in here. That's one way that he used in speaking to you and I is through people that have gone on. Now, those were powerful men of God. They were both in high offices, and so I know that, but that's just a fact, isn't it? That these are two men that used to walk here. They were deceased, and they came back and ministered. I've heard people say, you know, they felt like their mother talked to them or said something to them or what. I think that's very viable. Very doable today in the kingdom of God. We don't want to focus on that. Our focus is on hearing the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Another area of a way that God can talk, and this was a hilarious story. It's in Numbers 22. If you want to turn there, you can. I just selected a few scriptures out of there and put down. But Numbers 22 is a hilarious story. It's a king, Balak, and he's wanting to get the prophet Balaam to curse Israel. He's wanting him to say a negative word to Israel, and so. And he won't do it, and he hears the voice of God, and he says, God tells him no a couple of times, and then, how many knows, if you stroke someone's ego long enough, they will usually kind of turn. And it's something that we need to remember as Christians when we're trying to speak truth, and somebody stroking your ego to get you to compromise. Don't think that people can't influence you by stroking your ego. Everybody likes their ego stroked. I didn't hear one amen, but that's the truth anyway. That we just, so we need to be careful. That's why some people have affairs. The first time it's like, oh no, I'm married. And the second time they get all this stroking of their ego and they say, well, you know, he's not that great. And then, you know, before long, they hear their selfish voice. Remember the three voices? You don't hear God's voice anymore. You hear the selfish voice. I am pretty good person. I am, you know, all this stuff. They're stroking. So anyway, they've stroked his ego, and he finally says, well, you know, I might just go see. And so as he's leaving his part of the country, in Numbers 22:27, says, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and she had already seen this angel twice, and it's a big angel, and he's got a sword. Drawn, ready to hack something with it, and them mainly. And he says, Balaam's anger, the donkey laid down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. This is like the third time that he's struck his donkey. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me three times? Now, I've had all kinds of horses and animals and cows, and I've been so angry at some of them I could just cuss, you know? Just spit mad at them. But I never have been so angry at any of them. If they said, what are you doing? That would just freak me out, and I'd stop right there. I mean, this guy's weird. You know, I've heard that at my school. I go to a Pentecostal school, and they have all kinds of prophets come in and talk to us. And most prophets are weird. And that's what they'll tell you. We're just weird. We're prophets. You know, we think different. We act different. And so Balaam the prophet, she says, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? Balaam said to the donkey, he just strikes up a conversation. Because you have abused me, I wish that there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And I thought, even if I was with him, I'd say, dude, your donkey just spoke to you, and you're trying to, you know, just bring him back to... But he says, the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, well, no. And then I love this part. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and with his drawn sword. And he finally, the prophet gets it. You know, he finally sees what the donkey, what she's seeing. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. and says, now when I, the angel says, why did you beat your donkey those three times? And I think that's probably the happiest moment in that donkey's life, don't you? You know, I could just hear the donkey chuckling. The angel demands that. He says, I have come to stop you because you're headed for destruction. Listen, sometimes when God's trying to speak to me and you, it's because we're headed for destruction. And sometimes He takes drastic measures because we're like Balaam. We're not listening. We're hearing our own voice because our ego's been stroked, our desires are for something that's not of God. And so He's trying to speak. How many know, He's still speaking to His people. We just need to be listening. I've come to stop you. You're headed for destruction. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away from me. How many know that's bad when the donkey has a greater spiritual insight than you do? Three times they saw me. Or otherwise, he said, I would certainly have killed you by now and spared her. How many believes this great prophet probably hit the value of that donkey just went up? You couldn't have bought this donkey after that. But I just thought it was funny, you know, that a donkey, you know, sometimes God can speak His will through a donkey to save a prophet. I used to have horses, and most of you have ridden our horses that are here, have been here for a while, because we used to have hay rides and things. And one of my horses' name, remember, how many can remember Dancer? Usually if you came out, and unless you were intermediate or better rider, we usually wouldn't put you along with Dancer. Because he had a mind of his own. He was a lead horse. If you put him out on pasture with another horse, how many's ever see them fight for the lead? The way they communicate with each other and the way they talk to each other is through usually their mouth biting, or it's through kicking, or through pawing and pushing. You know, it's like a physical battle. And so that's the way they have dominance. And I've never put him in any arena, any pasture, pen, or whatever, that he didn't come out the dominant horse. So he's very dominant. And very well bred for racetrack. He never was on the racetrack. But I want to show you something that God began to speak to me about. And that this hard-headed, strong-willed horse, I bought him several years ago, and when they brought him to me, they said, here's one of the things, he will not ride in a small trailer, like a two-horse trailer, or a one-horse trailer. He has to be like a stock trailer, something that's open and wide, or he won't ride in it. And I thought, well, he used to not. Now he belongs to me. Because now he belongs to a strong-headed, dominant master. See? I told him one time, you are so lucky that you wound up with me. You wouldn't have been worth a quarter. You know, you wouldn't load in the right places and all. So anyway, when they brought him home, they brought him in a big trailer and stuff. And I didn't have a big trailer, and I didn't want it. And I thought, even if I did, I want him to load in whatever I want him to load. I'm the master. He's not. He's bought with a price. I paid the check for him. How many knows when the master speaks, he just wants you to go. Jonah, go to Nineveh. No. Did Jonah go to Nineveh? Did it take some persuasion? Yeah. So here's the thing, church. When God says go, you can either say no, and He'll persuade you, or you can go. I mean, it's just easier if you go. It's up to you, but it's just easier if you go. Moses, it's time for you to go to Egypt. No. And here's why. They wouldn't believe me even if I came. See, some of you, that's your problem. You think, well, even if I told them this is from God, or if I told them this is what, they wouldn't believe me. Well, God's not concerned about them believing you. He's concerned about you doing what He told you to do. So I get Dancer, and we're getting along, and I'm training him. I'm learning, this is my commands. And that's what God does for us. When we read this word, he trains us. This is, and I'm like Beth Moore, I know when God is flooding my soul. And just like yesterday at that conference, I knew this is something I need to speak up. But it's so simple. These are pastors, leaders. You know, this is a simple word, but I thought evidently they need to hear it because He opened the platform. He gave me a platform for that. Now, if He hadn't, I'd just sit down and said, you didn't give me an opportunity, so there you go. So he, when he came to my house, Dancer came to my house, I began to teach him, no. Just about like that. You know, if I'd want him to do something he's doing, I would just, if he had a bridle on or something, or if I had a little a whip in my hand, I'd just, no. And if he didn't do it, it was, no! Now you think, well, that's cruel. Well, they're horses. And when horses, they don't, you know, it's not like a poodle. If you've never trained a horse, they're not like poodles. They're, you know, you can do that to a poodle, and they're, you know, you do that to a horse, it's like, do that some more, you know. In fact, we're running down a trail one day. I had one of my horses with me, and just let him, Jan and I were on our horses, and I was on Dancer and Bandit. Remember our paint we had? He was here beside me, and we were just galloping along, and he'd come up beside us, and I thought, let's just breeze him out. So I just turned Dancer loose, and he took off, and here come Bandit. And he came right up beside us and went, bam, and just kicked my leg. I mean, it hurt, terribly hurt. They're like, isn't that fun? Bam, you know, and just running along. And so they break your leg just having fun. So I've wanted to set that because there's so many animal lovers like, oh, you're just cruel. Well, no, I'm not. And if you get a horse, come see me. You'll have more. But I teach him. I said, no. And he knew if I was standing from here to that wall, he knew if he came up and got another horse's bucket and he was about to go, I'd say, no. And he said, oh, golly. He'd go back over and get his bucket. See? You know what I'm doing? I'm training to hear the master's voice so that he can be a blessing to me and to those around me. That's what God's doing for us. He's teaching us to his no. Thou shalt not bear false witness. No. You know, you want to lie? No. Thou shalt not covet. Oh, boy, I really like... No. That's all he's doing. He's training us to his voice. You know, you want to hate your enemy? No! All right. Bless them. Okay. You know. How many of you have heard that one before from God? How many are still hearing it right now, you know? And so then I would learn, here's another command I would give him, get in. You know, this is, if my horse is new, that means turn on the gas, go forward, move from your position. And they knew that. In fact, you could get on Dancer and if you're just walking along, I go, you better hang on because he'd think, man, that's my signal. And he knew just to go. See, we need to learn that when God is at what the go signal is. And just like he did yesterday at that conference, this is your go signal. I thought, all right, I'm responding. You know, make a way, I'm ready to go. So what's the go signal? And every time I would take him around and I would lead him into a corral opening, I'd say, get in. And so he knew, enter, you know, and a big trailer, they put him in a big trailer, get in. And he would get up in there. So late one night in the summer, we were standing and I thought, here's the training session and here's what I want him to know and here's where we're going to break part of his will. We pulled a two-horse trailer in our driveway and it was late, early summer, probably July, August is hot, wasn't it? It was dark, but it was still very hot, humid. So I pulled him up to the trailer, and this little trailer, two horse, you know, it's just a little slot for him and a little slot. And I said, get in. And I pulled on the leash, and he's like, I don't do little trailers, thank you. That's what he was. I mean, you can ask Jenna. She was there. She saw it. And so, I have her give him a whack on the rear, you know, get in. And so he knows what we're wanting, and I put feed up in there for him for his reward. That's something else they knew. Whenever they did something right, I always pat him, good boy, good boy. You know, see, hear the difference in the voice? That's what God's voice is. I think when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well, I don't think he said, this is my beloved son in whom, I don't think he said it like that, do you? I think he was like, just you and me would be, you know, with it. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he looks around at him and says, isn't he good? And everybody says, yeah, Father, he's great. Yeah, you know. And I think that's the way he was. And so I always taught him, you know, when you do good, you get one of these, good boy, good boy. If I was riding him, if I was standing beside him, and so they knew, this is good. You did good. And so we pull him up there, and so we try to get him in and you know, convince him, he won't get in. So I told Jan, I said, just step back, and I have a long leash, and so I make him do laps. Just around and around, just, you know, and when he tried to slow down, I'd give him a little whack, just go, go, go. And he was, and I pulled him back up there to the trailer, and I said, get in.
I don't do trailers that are small.
I said, no, you just don't know you do trailers that are small. Come on. And so we did more laps yesterday. Yesterday, was one of the funniest things I ever heard, one of the keynote speakers said yesterday, he used to be a coach and said when his athletes would mess up, he said, and they would make them do laps. He said, and so I thought, well, it works in football. So when he became a youth pastor, he said, when one of his kids didn't do their assignments, he said, a lady came to him one day and says, where's Johnny? He said, oh, he didn't do his lesson. He's out running laps around the church. Said, it didn't work real well. And so you got to know what realm you're in. And so this is the horse realm. And so I got him out, and we did, how many times do you think we did that? Four, five? He's just dripping sweat. I'm dripping sweat. And Jan's like, oh, God, how long are they going to do this? So we pull him up there, and finally, after we're both just dripping sweat, I said, get in. She didn't have to hit him or nothing. He said, I think I'll just go ahead and get in here. See? And then there's his little reward, his sweet feed that he liked, you know. And I'm up there petting his old sweaty body. Good boy, good boy. And I let him stand there and huff and puff for a few minutes. And then I backed him out of the trailer, and Jan's like, oh, thank God that's over. I said, all right, we're going to walk him around. And I said, let's put him in one more time. Oh, man, we're going to have to do this. And we walked him around, and I brought him, and I said, get in. And he just walked right in. We shut the tailgate and gave him a good boy and attaboy. And I never had to have that conversation with him again. Listen, you think that's funny? Saul was on his way on the road to Damascus, and he had his official papers from the church. He had heard from the church. I'm going to go and persecute every Christian I find. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to stone you. I'm going to put you in jail. I have the official authority from the church of God. He had everything but God's approval. And that means that's what you really need. If you need to hear God saying, you've got this approval, you've got that approval, but as God said to you, go. And so along the road to Damascus, he's walking along with his papers and his authority and all this stuff, and Jesus is tired of him beating up and persecuting his kids, and so he whacks him and says, no. And with all of his papers in his pocket and all of his authority, he's on his knees and probably on his face, and he's blind. God hit him so hard he's blinded him. And he says, it's hard to kick against the goads. It's hard to kick, it's hard to abuse my children, is what he's saying. And he says, who are you, Lord? He's getting, just like Dancer, he's getting it, isn't he? Rather quickly. He can't see, and he don't look so big now, and all of his papers and all of his authority, but God spoke to him. Now, when he got up, it says he heard a voice, but he didn't see any. In fact, it said the people around him heard a voice, but they didn't see anything. So sometimes Jesus can be just audible to you and me when there's a desperate situation going on, and he needs to get our attention. And sometimes we get whacked because we don't listen. We just don't listen. What has God said to you? When we read His Word, church, and He says, this is what my commands are, that's yes. That's good boy. When He says, when we read His Word, and we contradict His Word because of culture, or circumstance, or situation, when in our particular situation, we think this is okay. Well, I'm telling you, if it contradicts God's Word, He's looking at you and saying, no. Now, you can go ahead and go down that path if you want to, but I'm just telling you, there's going to come a Damascus Road experience where He's going to say, no. Because He loves you too much to let you just barrel on down and abuse yourself and ride off into hell. So, it's easier just to say, I'm going to agree with God's Word. I'm going to listen to the voice of God through His Word. Are you with me? I just want to encourage you today, get familiar with the Word of God. Because that's how God's going to speak to you most of the time. When I hear people say, I'm faithful in my devotions. I read my word every day. Man, that thrills my heart because I think, you know what you're doing? You're reading about the character of God and you're building your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's building your faith because now you'll know how to, just like yesterday, I just knew I wasn't nervous about it. I didn't stress about it. I just knew if this is God and He's really wanting to speak to this group of men and women, He'll just open it up, and He just opened it right up. Used to, I would have stressed. I can remember early in my ministry going into churches. I remember one particular time where God spoke to me on the way out there. I'd never been to this church, and God said, take in your CD and give them this testimony. And I was going with a young preacher, and I thought, well, I don't even know who they are. I don't know what their setup is. I don't know. I've never met them. He just heard a friend of a friend. He wanted to go to this church, and I thought, as a young Christian, I want to go and see what's going on at this church and go with him. And I didn't have any intention to say or do anything. But I heard that. This is clear, and I knew I should have took my... I had that tape in my truck, and I should have took it in for singing. And I had this testimony that he wanted me to give to this church. It's about loving and a little bit of correction in it. And I thought, well, you know, that's... And so I didn't take it in, and so the pastor got up and somewhere during the service looked back at me and said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. And she and her and her husband's up on the platform, there's co-pastors of the church, and they said, well, Lord said you have a song and a word for us. I turned around to the young pastor and I said, go get my tape out of the truck, here's the keys. You know, why didn't I just take it in? You know, just, you know. Well, it's because we don't think God's speaking to us. Well, they don't know me, and we put logic in it, you know. Now, we need to have common sense, but we just need to know when God's speaking to you, He's wanting to do something through you and accomplish something through you and make you a blessing to others. And so, that taught me, things like that taught me, you know what? When God speaks, just prepare for it. You know, He's opened doors. I've preached at churches I've never even been at before and got up and preached sermons and opened doors to do things that I never would have thought. Just listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes He speaks to us in distress and if we'll listen. Remember when Hannah was sad because she couldn't have children and so she was on her knees one morning and her mouth's moving and she's not saying anything. She's kind of doing what Ben was talking about. And just talking and pouring her head out to God. And the prophet saw her. Remember what he thought? He thought she was drunk. Kind of like Miss Ray talked a while ago. And by the way, you know, for Miss Dorothy and Miss Ray, you know what? I'm so proud of them for getting up and using their gifts for God. I can't, you don't know how proud I am of them. Because there's so many that you know, when they're retired, they think, well, it's over, I'm retired, and I can't do anything anymore. And I'm so proud of them to saying, you know what, as long as there's breath in me, and I can get up and go, then I'm gonna use what I've got for the kingdom of God. You know, it wasn't easy for Miss Nicely to be here this morning, but she's just gone past easy and said, I'm going to go to the house of God. And I'm so proud of you for that. You know. Yeah. Well, you know, to leave Mr. and I sit home and, you know, you guys are dependent on each other right now, that's all I'm saying. And she was down there, Hannah was praying, and the prophet thought she was drunk. But you know what? She heard the voice of God through the prophet, and he says, I'm going to give you a child. She goes home and gives a child. And here's what she heard God say. Give him back to me. How many knows no mother would ever give their child, leave them at a temple, I don't care how holy they are, if they hadn't heard from God. You know, she says, like she made this deal with God, I'll leave my kid there, but I just know, and you can just take this to the bank, she's heard from God say, this is what, and he brought her to a place of desperation where she could hear his will, because he needed a new prophet for that dispensation. And so she hears his voice, and she raises him up, and when he's weaned, she takes him to the temple and leaves him there. And I thought that was so beautiful. And then little Samuel's laying there, and he's growing up in the temple. And one morning, because the prophet's sons have, you know, they're no longer holy, and they're ripping people off and raping people. And all of a sudden, little Samuel hears Samuel. And he runs into the prophet and says, yes, Eli. And he says, I didn't say anything. So two or three times he's doing that. And finally, Eli catches on. He says, oh, God's speaking to this kid. He says, next time, Samuel, that God speaks to you, he said, say, I'm here, Lord. And so he's not familiar with the voice of God. But here's what I want you to do. Next time you feel a prompting, just like I did yesterday, say, I'm here, Lord. Just learn how to respond to God. I'm here, Lord. I'm listening. I hear you. And then just get quiet. And give him your full focus. And learn to hear that voice so you can be so effective in the kingdom. Because how many knows when you hear the voice of God and you operate under a direct command, I mean, you can't prepare for that, you can't study that, you can't get there any other way but just sheer obedience. Because what it's doing, it's meeting a particular need in a particular situation at that particular time, and it's powerful, isn't it? Just like when Moses was called to go to Egypt, he didn't think he was ready, but he was, wasn't he? And there's another key is when God calls you and you hear him, don't argue and think you're not ready. Whatever you lack, he will anoint you and bless you and give you so you can go right on through. You can go right on through. Let me read you what I read yesterday. And I'll close with this. It was in a book. They gave us some choice to look at some books. And it was Stan Toller. And he said this. He says, ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Then put your ear close to the Word. Put your ear close to the Word and listen for His answer. It will free, surprise, and challenge you. Father, we thank you for your voice today. You said, my sheep hear my voice. God, you have given us commands. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. And God, we know what's holy and what's unholy because you've told us what it is. We're intelligent people. We're made in your image and your likeness. And so for all of those that are in the building today, all of us that may be living in some area where you said no, today we repent. He said, that's wrong. That's a no. Speak, Holy Spirit, to us right now. Because we're headed on a road to destruction when we ignore your holy word and we live in sin. We don't give what you've called us to give. We don't walk in the holiness that you've called us to walk in. We don't forgive because we don't want to turn loose. We don't love our enemies because we don't feel like it. We don't do devotions and spend time with you because we're just so busy. God, and we miss out on so much. Help us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. So we can hear your voice and we can enjoy all the blessings that come with obedience. That we can be used and you'll give yourself away through us as we listen to you and we find your will and we go out and live your will. Giving ourselves to others, there's no feeling like that. A feeling of significance that I matter. God, use me. So help us, Father, to turn from our wicked ways and to call upon you and live in your holiness. Give us strength today to say no to what you say no to and to say yes to what you say yes to. To live holy lives. To open our ears to hear. So that we can live a life of blessing and a life that will glorify your name. A life that will fulfill us to know him. Jesus' name. While Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just repeat this with me? You can say it loud or you can repeat it in your heart. But if you need Jesus Christ and you don't want to go to hell, he's made a way for you to go to heaven, would you just say this to the Lord sincerely from your heart? And you can just say it in your own mind if you'd like to the Lord. But say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I repent, Lord. I turn from my sins, and I turn to You. Be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I appreciate you.